Mark 12:34, where we read, "And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question." And we do especially want to meditate upon these words in context. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And the title I want to give to our meditation this afternoon, Not Far from Christ. Not Far from Christ. We have been going through Mark's Gospel. Previously we noticed that the Pharisees and the Herodians gathered together to try to tempt Jesus and pose a question regarding taxes. And Jesus was able to silence them perfectly. And when they were put to silence, the Sadducees came together. And this is the sermon that we looked at the last time I was with you. And they posed a question regarding the resurrection. And again, Jesus was able to silence them perfectly, answering wisely from the word of God with power and with authority. But here we have a single scribe coming forward after seeing that the Sadducees were put to silence. This single scribe seeks to come forward to present this question to Jesus, to tempt him, to try him, according to Matthew's Gospel. And we know this scribe was a lawyer and that he was a Pharisee. Now, when we read in the Bible of someone being a lawyer, we are not to think that that person deals with house purchases or wills or anything connected with the legal profession that we identify with today. When it says that he was a lawyer, what it simply means is this man was involved in the law of God. This was his business. He was a lawyer in that sense, that he was intimately acquainted with the law of God. So this man who had a great amount of knowledge, he comes and he seeks to tempt and to try the Lord Jesus that he might trip him up in his words. Well, we want to draw four things from this passage for your edification this afternoon. And the first thing we might notice is we have here the greatest question. The greatest question. Which is the first commandment of all? Verse 28. Which is the first commandment of all? Here was this man. He was obviously concerned about things. And what better person and better individual to go to than to ask the most important of questions than to the Lord Jesus Christ? Not for him to deal in secondary matters or to deal with secondary individuals. This man goes straight to the top, as it were. This man wants to deal with the Lord Jesus Christ, who speaks with so great power and so great authority, as was demonstrated in the way that he dealt with earlier questions. He goes straight to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is, friends, a wonderful lesson and a wonderful application for each and every one of us here, and indeed to the whole wide world. Where will you go, friends, for the greatest of questions? Where will you go for the answers to the questions that do perplex you? What is life all about? Why are we here? Where do we come from? How did all these things come about? Where will you find the answers to these questions that do indeed come upon us, that we do have in our quieter times? Questions that we might not articulate to our friends or families. But these questions are there. We ask ourselves, what is all this about? Where did this world come from? Why are we here? Where are we going? Where can we find the answers to these questions? Well, let us be abundantly clear, friends. We will not find the answers to the most pressing questions that we all have. We will not find it in politics. We will not find it in the politicians, no matter what color your politics are. Whether you're a friend of Westminster or whether you're a friend of Holyrood, you can be absolutely certain you will not find the answers to the most pressing problems and questions that each and every one of us have. These people will not address our basic cares and concerns. It will not happen. We must indeed go to the Lord Jesus Christ. We must find the answers in the Word of God. And blessed be God, we will indeed find the answers here. We will find them in the Word of God. We don't need to grope around in the dark. They are all here, there for us. God in His wonderful sovereignty, God in His great wisdom has declared these things for us. We know where the world has come from. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, friends. And if God is the creator of the heavens and the earth, I can say with infallible authority that He has created every single one of us. He has created us. And do you know and do you realize and do you understand He knew you even before you were formed in the womb? Oh, is this not marvelous? Is this not incredible? That He knows us even before we were formed in the womb. And Christian, I want to comfort you today to realize, for you to grasp your blessings and to grasp your privileges. Not only did He know you before you were formed in the womb, yet His love was set upon you before you were formed in the womb. He has loved you with an everlasting love. We meditated upon that very briefly on Wednesday night. And we have not exhausted the subject, because you can never exhaust the subject of divine love. And we can never hear of it enough to realize that God, the great I Am, the great One, who is from everlasting to everlasting, knows His people with an everlasting love. Knows us even before we were in the womb. Knows our days and knows all about us. And therefore it's only wise that this man should go to the Lord Jesus Christ with this great question. Which is the first commandment of all? It's clear and it's obvious this man lacked something. He may have been a lawyer. He may have been steeped in the scriptures. No doubt he could quote the scriptures verbatim. He knew all of these things, but he wanted to know which is the first, the uppermost, the primary commandment of all. In other words, he wanted to know what indeed would satisfy God. He knew that with all his knowledge, with all his training, and with all that he had acquired, there was something lacking. What would satisfy God? The greatest question. Well, friends, you will have questions. And blessed be God, we will find the answer in the Word of God. God has made all things. And God has made us for His glory. And we know what's happening. One day, friends, it's appointed unto us all to die. And after that, the judgment. But the people of God will go in and they will be with the Lord forever. This is what God is doing in this day and in this generation. He is pulling out, selecting a people unto Himself. He is calling people out of the world that they might be in His church. That's what He's doing. And we want to be part of that wonderful work of the Lord. How can we be part of it? We must believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He must be our Lord and Savior. We must be united to Him. We must have dealings with Him. And we must embrace him as he is freely offered to us in the gospel. Well, then, firstly, we've had the greatest question. Notice here, secondly, we have what I've said, the greatest conciseness. The greatest conciseness. We might use brevity, but I think conciseness conveys what I want to say more accurately than brevity. To understand what this man was asking, it would be helpful to us to realize that the Pharisees had hundreds of commandments based upon the Pentateuch. They obviously accepted the Pentateuch. But according to my reading, friends, the Pharisees had 613 commandments based upon the Pentateuch. 248 of them were positive, and 365 of them were negative. In other words, there were 248 commandments that you must do, and there were 365 commandments that you must not do, negative and positive. So when this man comes up and asks which is the first commandment of all, we might be thinking that he's mainly talking about the Ten Commandments. That is not the case. He's talking about the Ten Commandments, yes, but also the 613 additional commandments based upon the Pentateuch that the Pharisees had. And Jesus was confronted with this question, which is the greatest, or which is the first commandment of all? And he was suddenly imposed upon as he was walking about. Suddenly someone comes up and asks him this question. And therefore that is why I've said my second heading is the greatest conciseness. Because Jesus was able to take all of that, all of the law of God and all of these extra additional commandments, and he was able to sum them all up in a few words. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it, namely this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. It is absolutely remarkable that the Savior was able to gather all this and condense it to the very heart of the matter. And that's what he did. He was able to cut through all that excess baggage and all that man-made rules and regulation and get right to the heart of the matter. This man wanted to know what was the greatest commandment, and Jesus was able to tell him instantly, this is what is required. And we're not to think for one minute that the Lord Jesus in any sense dumbed down the Word of God or the requirements of the law of God. Not for a moment, friends. He summed it up succinctly, concisely, right to the heart of the matter, what the man needed to hear. And he did not, in any sense, dumb down the Word of God. In actual fact, he restored the Word of God to its rightful position. He revealed how demanding the law is. He revealed the full extent of its length, of its breadth, of its depth, of its height, and how it is a spiritual law that's over us all. And rather than dumbing it down, he showed the full extent of this commandment and what's required of each and every one of us. And he restored it to its rightful position. It is absolutely remarkable that he was able to do this. That he was able to think so accurately on his feet when pressed by this questioner about the most important commandment. And this is true for us, friends. This commandment is real and relevant today to each and every one of us. We are all under the law of God, and we are required to love the Lord our God with all our heart, and with all our soul, and with all our mind, and with all our strength. And we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. That is what is required from the Word of God for each and every one of us, without any exception. There is a kind of teaching abroad today which would say that the God of the New Testament is not as strict and as discerning as the Old Testament God. Many will say that the God of the Old Testament is far more sterner and far more stricter than the God of the New Testament. We don't accept that teaching for one moment, friends. It's the same God in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and his requirements are exactly the same. In fact, we could well argue that God is far more stricter in the New Testament than he is in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, he says concerning loving thy neighbor. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, he says, thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. That was the requirement in the Old Testament. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But do you know what the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples not long before he was crucified? A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That ye love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one toward another. Do you see the difference, friends? In the Old Testament, they were to love their neighbors as themselves. But in the New Testament, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are to love each other as Christ has loved them. Can you not see how it has been extended? How can you not see how the demands have been heightened? We are to love each other in the same way that the Lord Jesus has loved his people. Does this not cause us to look into our hearts and to see how we have failed? Who can love like the Lord Jesus? That one who suffered and died on Calvary's tree, who gave his life for his people. That's the kind of love that we are to display towards the children of God. As I have loved you, how has Christ loved you? O child of God, sit down and consider, how has Christ loved you? Was it in word only? No, far from it. The Lord Jesus Christ has loved indeed. He has gone to the very pit of hell itself. He has suffered the pains of hell for his people. He has displayed his love for his people. It could well be argued, friends, that at least for the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, his standards have been heightened. Why is that? Well, we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our great example. Do we not live in greater spiritual light than the Old Testament lived in? Or the Old Testament saints lived in? Is that not true? Do we not know a greater measure of the Holy Spirit? Oh yes, we know the Old Testament saints, they had the Holy Spirit also. But is it not true that in the New Testament dispensation, We have the Holy Spirit in a greater measure. And do we not live in greater spiritual light? Do we not live after the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Do we not see it much more clearly than ever the Old Testament saints saw what was about to come? With all our privileges comes responsibility. And therefore, friends, it's true to say that if the Old Testament saints had to love one another, their neighbour, as themselves, as they would love themselves, we are to love each other as Christ has loved us. And we have the Holy Spirit. And we have Christ dwelling within us. We have kingdom power to live this life. And therefore we are to display our love for God by loving one another. Jesus did not in any sense dumb down that word. Rather, he tightened it, heightened it, and made it more stricter and more discerning for the people of God. And he repeats it, friends. It's not something that he's only said once. He repeats it. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Thirdly, we might notice from this context, from this incident here, we have the greatest encouragement. Verse 34. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. For us to grasp what Jesus said here, we need to remind ourselves that this man probably was hostile to Christ. Matthew distinctly tells us that he came forward to tempt Christ, to trip him up in his words, that he might fall and fail and have something to say against Christ. He poses a very good question, and Jesus gives him a wonderful answer. And following the answer that Christ gives, the man says, well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. His answer to Christ showed a wonderful knowledge of the scriptures. This man was able to distinguish between things that differ. Many people cannot. What do I mean? Well, he recognizes that Jesus is talking about the moral law. And Jesus summed up the moral law when he answered the man's question. And this man recognizes that to fulfill the moral law is far more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices that belong to the ceremonial law. You see, friends, many in the time of Jesus and many of the Jews simply believed that if they offered their offerings, or if they give their tithes and their sacrifices, and if they attended the means of grace, that was all that was required. It didn't matter how they lived. It didn't matter how they treated their neighbour. It didn't matter what they did outside of the house of God or the temple or the synagogue. As long as they attended the means of grace, and as long as they give their sacrifices, and as long as they did the outward things of religion, then everything was hunky-dory as far as they could see. But this man recognized, no. It's far more important to obey the Ten Commandments than it is to offer burnt offerings and sacrifices. And this is something that many people do not grasp and do not realize. The commandments, the Ten Commandments, are binding. And they are vitally, vitally important. And this man here could see the difference. Do you know this, friends? This was the great complaint and the great problem with the Jews during the time when their temple was ransacked and razed to the ground. The people had their hope and their confidence in the fact that they went to the house of God. They had great faith in the fact that they offered their sacrifices. And when Nebuchadnezzar was at the door, almost, they said, "Our temple will not be destroyed." Why? Because we offer our sacrifices, we offer our offerings, we go to the house of God. And therefore, God will never destroy our temple. But their lives were upside down. And they were not ones who obeyed the law of God. They were worshipping other gods. They were breaking the moral law. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And this man here, friends, was able to see there is a distinction between things that differ. And he answered very, very discreetly. And when he answered, Jesus encouraged him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." Is there a lesson here for us? Well, there'll be a lesson for some of us, certainly. There's no question about it. If we ever get into a conversation with an unbeliever, and if an unbeliever ever comes to us, for instance, with a question, and we're able to answer them, can we, in any sense, encourage them as Jesus did here? Here he was. He was someone who was against Christ and sought to trip him up. But because he answered discreetly, Jesus indeed would still encourage him. Encourage him. "Thou art not far from the kingdom of heaven." You see, very often, friends, when we engage in conversation with people, when we discuss Christianity or the Bible or Christ, very often we might win the argument but lose the person. This is not what happened here. Jesus answered him wisely, and this man answered him back discreetly, and then Jesus was able to encourage this man. And this should be the kind of attitude we should seek to adopt whenever we get involved with any kind of conversation with an unbeliever, that we might in some sense encourage them. Yes, present the truth to them, by all means. But be able to do it in such a way that we might encourage them. Oh, we don't want to snap them off. We don't want to cut them off. We want them to come to the Lord Jesus. And it is a great skill. Didn't Jesus not say, "I will make you fishers of men"? Fishers of men? We are to be like fishermen. And fishermen and fishing is not easy. It's very easy to scare the fish away. And we need skill. And we need the skill that the Lord Jesus Christ gives. Because he says, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Let us then seek to encourage whoever we can in any conversation that we engage in. Let us always seek to try to encourage them that they would go on and seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we've had the greatest question, and we've had the greatest conciseness. And thirdly, we've had the greatest encouragement. But fourthly and finally, we might notice we have here the greatest danger. He was a man, when he started off initially, he was certainly an opponent and a critic of the Lord Jesus. It may well be that as the conversation developed, that the man's attitude towards Christ changed. And Jesus did encourage him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of heaven." But do you notice, friends, at the end of the section we read, verse 34, we are told, "And no man after that durst ask him any question." Jesus had said to this man, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Thou art not far from heaven. Thou art not far from glory." And yet, when he got that answer, or when that was presented to him, there was no further inquiry. He was prepared to stop there, friends. He did not want to know more. He did not pursue the matter. He was quite happy to relax and to sit back on his lees and dwell in the attainments and the achievements that he already had. He did not embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. He was so close. "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And we might say, friends, the kingdom of God was just right before him, because there was Christ. And this was his greatest danger, that he would just simply stay where he was. And he would not pursue the matter. He would not ask Christ indeed, "How can I get into the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? What is the next step, as it were?" This man would rest on his laurels, rest on his biblical knowledge, rest on what he had, for he dare not ask the Lord Jesus Christ any further questions. I wonder, is this applicable to any here today? You have gone so far. You are like this man here, moral and upright. The law of the land could never point a finger at this lawyer. His life would be squeaky clean. This man was a religious man, totally observed and absorbed in the things of God, fully acquainted with the scriptures, was able to distinguish between things that others would not see. He was well ahead of many others in his day and in his generation. But friends, the important thing to realize here, and the great danger for this man here, is he was not far from the kingdom of God, meaning he was not in the kingdom of God. He had not an interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is this your position today? It is a most dangerous position to be. Because if you're not far, you're not in. "So far, so good" will not get us to glory. We need to be in the kingdom of God. "Minister, how can I be in the kingdom of God? How can I be in? How can I have an interest and a part in the kingdom of God? What must I do?" You must go to the Lord Jesus, friends. And he was so close to this man. And maybe it's the same for you today. So close to the Lord Jesus. Is he not among us? Does he not promise that he's among his churches? He's there when the word of God is proclaimed. Christ is offered to you in the gospel. Does he not say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest"? This man was burdened. This question was there. And all he had to do was pursue it. Seek the Lord Jesus. Press him again. This could be our, and it is our greatest danger. Familiar with gospel things. Familiar with the house of God. Familiar with the scriptures. familiar with the way of salvation, familiar with Christianity, yet not familiar with Christ, and not in the kingdom of God. Let us hope, and let us pray that this is not true of any of us today, that we are not far from Christ. Therefore, let us make our calling and election sure. Let us embrace Him. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Amen. Let us pray.